Pete.
And that's your man of Booth Bag.
Booth Bag!
And audience, thanks for showing up.
Come on, guys.
Guys, come on.
We were waiting all day.
Actually,
we just came from a screening of Meet Dave.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, what a movie!
Okay, can't wait to talk about it.
I love the first Meet Dave.
Oh, I know! Eddie Murphy was coming out of his...
Right, and then in this movie, they took it to a whole new level.
Oh, God. Yeah. He plays everyone. It's amazing the way he does
fantastic.
That.
He's like,
what an actor.
That's great. So that was going on.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is we came from a screening of Dark Knight. It's not Dark Knight!
We're going to talk about it in a professional manner.
We'll brag about that later.
Yes. But we are very excited about our guest tonight, so let's welcome him out. He's been waiting for a long time. He's been asleep for 100 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Brendan McGinley! Coming out to the show.
Thank you.
So let's talk about comics. Can we talk about this first? Is that all right?
Because I was going to discuss Descartes, but okay, yeah.
Oh, all right, okay. Well, let's talk about this because you picked this up from a printer today, right?
Yeah, about 20 minutes ago.
Wow. We're not here.
By the time I got it, I was in a terrible state. New Jersey.
Well, let's talk about this.
Oh, trust me! Don't ever go to Newark.
Yeah.
You can go to North Jersey, but don't ever go to North. Never mind.
The airport's okay.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Airport's a worst
part. Let's talk about this. Dose 2.
Yes.
Tell us about
it. It is a humor collective by myself and some friends and contacts, I guess you'd say.
Contacts?
So, yes.
You're not really...
Well, they don't like me, but, you know, they want to get friends. and the
I
idea
know
was
what
just,
that's like.
It all kind of came out of, you know, when... Decompression got ridiculous, I guess, earlier in the decade. I was like, no, why don't we just have something where you can just read it and you're done with it. And yeah, there is stuff that continues from issue to issue, but it's not really necessary. You know, there's no come back next month, true believer, because when are you going to see me, you know, like once a year at a convention? Diamond didn't want it. You don't want it. Whoa.
sales.
I'm on book.
Fuck this. Why?
We really enjoyed Dose 1, and this seems, I mean, I also only saw this first 5 minutes ago. This is clearly a big improvement in terms of putting it together. I'm sorry, that came out wrong.
No,
in terms of the printing process, clearly the other one was...
Let's get into it. Let's get into it, guys.
The purpose of the show is kind of to make out with you.
Right? Is that why you
cue
were
the disco ball.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, baby.
No.
If that's how you prepare to make out
with you.
That's not how you do it.
No, it moves around.
Thank you, Alex. I put a girl back to my apartment. Boothman puts on a light. Good work, man.
I get to watch everything.
I mean, everything.
There's nothing like a man in a codpiece to really set the mood.
I don't let the girls see him. It's just for me. Anyway.
So we're talking about those two, I think. So the printing process for the first book, which was essentially, I guess, basically papers that you guys stapled together. This is...
You're insulting him over and over.
You guys, it seems like you put a lot of time and a lot of effort.
Wow. You're completely wrong. Nice. Dose 1 took forever, and it was printed by the fine folks at Kablam. And this was printed by a company in India that didn't even ship it all the way to me, which is how I ended up in Newark.
were they carrying it on their backs and they just got tired?
Is that racist?
You know, I've
never said that for anybody.
I haven't heard
that. Makes it cool.
Because I'm equally racist to everybody.
They did a good job. But so did the folks who complained. So you can just, you know, credit or debit me with either one of those.
And what's, I didn't know generally what it is, but what's the idea of Dose? What would you say the
short humorous and or satirical pieces although we expanded into irony this issue. We got a dramatic piece, but it has an ironic ending. So.
Cool. And the other big thing you were working on recently was Hannibal Goes to Rome, which was up on Zootopia.
Yes, right. And fun. And I had no idea it would even get there. I thought it was just an incentive to get it done, or I would have colored the damn thing.
We've had a couple of people from Zuda on the show, and I think everybody has a different story how they ended up there. What's your story? How did Hannibal end up there?
I mean, you know, I was a big fan of Larry Gonick's Cartoon History of the Universe, I guess, obviously, because it's like a ripoff of it. But
again, too much.
Again, too much. Dial it down. no, so I was working with Mauro on Dose. He was recommended by another artist I was working with. And he just seemed like a really good fit for Hannibal, and he was game. So we did the intro kind of leading up to where he actually departs. And for some reason, Zuda liked it. And he kept saying, let's color it. And he told me not to use purple lettering. And I said, no, it's going to be cool. And if I'd listened to him, maybe we would know. We wouldn't have ended up in the middle. But that actually turned out to be pretty good, because when you don't win, you get all your stuff back. You get paid a little bit of money, and then you can go someplace with it and do whatever you want. You're not committed to like the 52 screens. You can make them as long or as short as you want. And I'm not sure I can say who yet, but we just got picked up by another webcomics initiative.
Oh, that's great.
Well, congratulations.
That's cool.
Yes. There you go. What else do you have coming up in the future, or is it just
A few more spandexy projects. I'm working on a thing called Heist with Josh Elder from Mail Order Ninja, who's also in Dose, and this really terrific artist, Andres Ponce. And it's about like a supervillain who's so good, like the superheroes have never even heard of him, so he's kind of like kind of invisible until he gets hired to break into their headquarters and steal this really valuable thing. We got that. And there's Invisible Ink, which is a superhero conspiracy, which asks like why the villains haven't ever tried to take over the world, and the answer turns out to be because they pulled it off decades ago. And that was in hiatus for a long time, and then this thing called Wanted came out. And tried. It's cool. Wanted was a great book, and this is not like that. So I urge you.
Well, it's essentially like a loom of fate. Or something like that.
or about like a psychopath who wanders the streets of God.
Yeah,
oh,
that's good.
Nah, that would never work.
It's good.
Wow, never work. Not anymore.
the product of my toils is that some of you folks are going to get some of these. Hands up first.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
He's taking over the show.
There's one.
Actually, even this show.
Two.
Yeah.
And that is issue one.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yo.
Thank you.
And that is as good a time as any to move to our first section, which we'd like to call the stack.
Yeah!
First issue we are going to talk about today is Secret Invasion number 4. We are halfway through the Secret Invasion event where Skrulls are taking over Times Square. And it is crazy.
Yeah,
they are in Times Square.
All the lights.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That was the most exciting part of the issue, was seeing Times Square drop.
No, no. There was a giant, ridiculous gun. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about this? How is this event panning out? Big 8-month-long summer event from Marvel.
The 8-month-long summer event from Marvel 10. But wait, there was more. I think
slowly unfolding.
What
very
is Campbell doing in this book?
Yeah. Agreed. I hate when they make people do that.
What happened?
Chilling.
He's saying, get everyone.
this is so boring. The flagship title has been so boring. The biggest thing we find out here is that Iron Man's not a Skrull. Which...
Well, no, but not even really. We find out he's not a Skrull, but like he's probably not a Skrull, but maybe he's a Skrull.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sucks.
It's like a car being like, I'm the fastest car in the world. I'm the fastest car in the world. Check this out. And it's like,
Go fast! Please!
Wait for it!
What's going on?
Sorry. Alright, did you go fast?
Yeah!
You should have gone fast.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
an analogy.
Thank you for coming to 8.
isn't that like every super crossover they've done for the last 5 years? Isn't it all like, you know, next issue they cross the street and then they get across the street and
yeah, but there hasn't even been a street yet.
They drop something on the other side, you know, and then
what they've done at this point is talked about crossing the street.
Yeah.
And they're like, should we do it? I don't know.
But the thing with this is the satellite books are actually interesting. All like we're going to talk about the Captain Britain book has been good. Some of the other books where they're actually telling stories and you're seeing the characters go through some of this. It's cool.
I mean, the reason I bring up the Times Square thing is because literally they're like, oh my God, Skrulls are invading the world, but all they've shown us is Skrulls invading Times Square and that's it.
And they haven't done anything but posing. There are like 10 of them and they're like, flex off. And there's no fight yet.
I don't know. I feel like you guys are being a little... I understand exactly what you're saying, but there was some fun moments in here where I wasn't as upset as you guys are.
You saw that big gun.
Yeah, the big gun was the biggest end of... No, I just felt like when they shot up Wolverine just because he can be shot up, you know, that was a kind of a cool moment. And then when they also shot up, Miss Marvel, for no reason whatsoever, and that was a funny moment.
And Nick Fury kind of blows her across the...
Yeah, he's like, we're not sure about her, just shoot her. Maybe she'll turn into a Skrull.
And her clothes rip off.
That's the whole reason you shoot Ms. Marvel.
What's this Wolverine-looking thing with, like, 8-foot claws and...
That's a Skrull that looks like Wolverine, and he has 8-foot claws.
But he's, like, Cyber Wolverine?
Yeah. Well, because the Skrulls now, they figured out that they don't just have to have Fantastic Four powers. They can also have X-Men powers.
Yeah.
And combined forward. X-Men.
Why don't they give themselves the power to have a faster story?
Alright, well, would you say pick it up?
Yep.
Well, you have to, really.
Oh.
You're not legally required, but yeah, you have to.
Alright, let's move on. Talk about Final Crisis Requiem. Spoiler, Martian Manhunter is dead.
Yep.
And speaking of things that actually went too fast, in Final Crisis number 1... Martian Manhunter was killed in one tiny little panel, kind of in the corner of a page.
Yeah.
So this is fleshing out that panel.
DC's going to release a book for every panel and every issue of Final Crisis.
Yeah. It's the same speech, but it's much slower.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about this issue?
This has been the best Final Crisis book so far.
I would completely agree.
Well, you haven't read any of the rest.
That's true.
So.
I'm not reading any of the main Final Crisis. I was allowed underneath our bet to read this.
We have a bet for $1 million that Pete will read Final Crisis before it's done.
I think he's going to win. To be fair.
I think I don't have $1 million.
Neither one of us have $1 million. Anyway, I just feel that, like, this is exactly what side books should do in a big event. Like, take a small part about it and really take the time to explain it and give it its due. I mean, John dying is a big deal, so it's like... You know, it was nice to see it done well. And
Having JoJo out of the DC Universe is tough.
Yeah, little JoJo, I miss him.
This is actually a very heartfelt story. It's told in really inventive ways. It's a great book. It's way better than the Final Crisis.
Exactly.
Flagship as
My
well.
Biggest problem with this book, I would say, is that over the course of the issue, Martian Manhunter gets longer and pointier.
Yes.
Which is really weird.
Well, the story's turning him on.
Yeah.
That takes out the...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It's like that rigor mortis thing where... I haven't read either of these, but...
That's called getting an erection.
Guy Gardner, more happy.
The only way guys like us can get an erection...
Guys, like, don't put him in your weird boat.
Come on, buddy. Right?
He can become anyone we want.
We can become any dead one we want. This is getting creepy, so we're going to move on.
Would
you guys say pick it up?
Yeah, it's a great read.
Cool.
Definitely worth it.
All right,
don't pick up Final Crisis, just pick up this book.
You don't know that.
Yeah, you don't.
All right, next thing we're going to talk about, which we don't have a copy to show you, sadly, I'm sorry, but Captain America White Number Zero, reteaming Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. What'd you guys think about this?
Well, you should pick it up if anything, the art alone is just amazing. Absolutely fantastic. It's worth checking out just for that.
Tim Sale's art is fantastic. They've done Daredevil Yellow, Spider-Man Blue,
Hulk Gray,
and now Captain America White. And it's pretty much the same story every time. Where it's like, here's a hero, they monologize about the whole thing, and then it's like, God, I was sad for a while in my life. Oh well. This is going to be no different. he's like, we had some good times. Okay.
I mean, you're correct, but I don't agree
with you. Well, but I just think Jeff Long, you can tell, it's the art is so good. Like, tell a good story, and then it's a classic book.
But it's showing that all of these characters in the Marvel Universe have dealt with loss, and it's showing how they deal with loss.
And putting it in a color scheme, which is very enjoyable.
Yeah, but they deal with the loss, they all deal with loss in the same way. They brood about it.
I fight back. Do you get a lot of cotton candy at party?
No, but I brew too.
Also,
so I
don't,
see...
I don't know what a party is.
Yeah, you know what brooding is.
Yeah.
When I don't want to read about the heroes brooding. I know how to brood. I brood every single minute of the day when I'm not here.
Aww.
That's not true. So I just want it to be a better story.
Have you read any of the Color series or any have any feelings about the Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale stuff?
You keep taking stuff on read.
Oh,
wow. Oh, man. It's emotional.
Where's the cherry Pop-Tart, man? No, I don't know. No, I
haven't. Okay. If you had, what would you think about it?
I would say Tim Sale's a damn fine artist.
Yes. Yes.
Jeff Loeb has big ideas.
Though I will say, to take him down a peg, he signs like 10 out. 10 of the panels around the like different panels.
They're pretty cool panels.
Wow,
yeah, but, like,
you really
that's
took
cocky.
Them down a peg.
Yeah, that's cocky. When he's like...
I sign all of my really good jokes.
In the air?
Yeah.
I've never seen you do that.
Sorry,
you set yourself up.
No, I didn't. You just say pick it up?
Yeah, definitely pick it up.
I'm going to say, yeah, borrow Pete's. Where they go.
Well, Pete got every variant cover, so that's cool. All right, let's talk about Batman Detective Comics 846, tying into the Batman RIP storyline. What'd you guys think about this issue?
It wasn't tying into the Batman RIP.
Well, the cover says it does.
Yeah, so that was pretty upsetting off the bat.
The lie.
I didn't get past that.
The way they tie it in is Batman's with Catwoman, and she's like, how's your girlfriend? Jezebel Jett. He's like, it's okay. Let's get on with this case.
You dating a girl named Jezebel?
Jezebel Jett.
Awesome. Jezebel.
What do you think's going to happen with the character Jezebel Jett?
Yeah. I don't know. Run over by a chariot, eaten by dogs.
Nice.
I think.
Yeah.
Totally. She's a good Phoenician girl. Just like, read Hannibal. I will tell you a totally apocryphal story. It's just completely libelous, but I swear. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just telling you this is what people were saying back when Hush was coming out. Like, the whole Hush storyline was set up, and that childhood friend of his was coming, like no one had ever seen before, was just hanging around, like, hey, Bruce, what's up? And it was told to me that he was completely intended to be Hush, and they just couldn't believe it when people guessed it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow, this brand new character that's walking around, and Hush is going around threatening everybody, and he knows who he is. So they were just like, and he dives off a dock, and we're done.
Yeah. Now he's back.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they actually go around after the storyline and then change it into the childhood friend, or am I misremembering this entire
thing? Throughout the series, the doctor, what's his name, shows up. He's like, Bruce, it's been a long time. We're still friends, right? And then it's all flashbacks of them playing and how it got weird. Mm-hmm. And he's the only new character throughout the whole arc. And then you're right, people are like, how did they nail it? Weren't they looking at Jim Lee's art? Weren't they looking at Jim Lee's art? But instead,
well, then this,
very
of course, adds a little thing to the Hush origin. The fact that the reason he wears a green ring around his neck and wears bandages is because his mother...
Oh my God, it's Hal Jordan. What?
Yeah.
No, it's because his mother wore a green ring around her neck and wore bandages.
What?
You read the book, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I normally like Paul Dini a lot, and I think Dustin Nguyen's art is really good and fun. This is stupid.
Paul Dini's run's been kind of up and down. This is one of the... Yeah, this has been kind of a... This
Are
issue
is slowly stealing our comic books.
You know, I gotta get them free, man. I'm in indie comics. I don't even
know why. Not like us.
They're definitely not mine. Take them.
I don't have Midtown gift cards to throw around.
We don't keep any of them.
No. We're not allowed to...
No.
Actually, I tried that. And, I was like, oh, maybe if I just hold on to one. Nah, I was busted.
No. You're a celebrity. You can't.
Wow. Thank you for saying that.
Would you say pick it up?
I liked it better than you guys.
Yeah, I would say
so.
Yeah. It's too bad.
I just wish... That Catwoman would have really been upset, you know? Like, seriously, Batman, come on, with all these ladies? I thought I was the one. Thought we had something special going on. You know, set a little sidebar.
Maybe next issue.
Yeah. She should stick up for herself, I feel.
Let's roll
women's
on.
Empowerment.
Let's roll on and talk about Young X-Men number 4. We've been a bit up and down about this series, I think. What did you think about this issue?
Same thing. They tell the character, they focus on Ink in this issue, and it's a new character, and it's good, it's cool, but the whole story is really predictable and kind of boring.
Yeah, because they had, in the last issue, they're like, all right, let's go through this training sequence, and then they failed miserably, and then they're like, all right, we better not do that in the real thing. We get to the real thing, and they sucked again.
That's how you play, man.
Yeah, it's just like, wow.
It's tough. I'm not quite sure what Mark Guggenheim is doing here, because there are certain things that I like the character of Ink is actually kind of growing on me, even though he's completely stupid.
He gets tattooed, and they give him powers.
Yeah!
So
he's a tattooed man.
This is actually one thing that I want to mention about this issue. Mark Guggenheim also wrote this week's issue of Amazing Spider-Man, which we're not talking about. In Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker gets a job at a comic book shop.
I thought we weren't talking about it.
Hold on, I'll make a good point. He gets a job at a comic book shop, and somebody looks at a comic and is like, this comic, it will never come out in 3 weeks. Never mind. I completely fizzled out there. But what I was saying was, they make a joke about Amazing Spider-Man coming out 3 weeks out of the month.
Yeah.
A meta comic book joke. In this, the way that Ink gets psychic powers is he makes the Professor Xavier's little wavy lines, those lightning bolt lines, that he goes over the head in comic books. That's how he gets psychic powers. So it's just, I don't know, it's going back to the meta comic. This is not a good point.
Well, you're cool with the guy that has the tattoo powers being able to do anything he draws.
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of it is, though, the tattoo artist is like, well, I think it's more of a metaphor thing, Ink. Like, if you want to have psychic powers, we need to draw something that's not. I can't write the word psychic on your forehead.
Here he's punching out a woman in lingerie.
That's one of his powers.
It's there.
He drew an extra nipple.
It's not really good lingerie.
So did he have like a dancing girl on this bicep and like violence on this bicep?
No, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
So it is a little ridiculous. I think Mark Guggenheim's a bit busy because he writes Eli Stone, the TV show, and he's writing like 4 or 5 comics. So I feel like his stories, he's not putting much time in, so they're not as detail-rich. Yeah. And this one's...
Because he is a good writer.
I just missed you, too.
I know. I like you always take a moment when
they
you
all send me emails, privately. Here's my first question. How awful is this character that's Wolverine's son?
Dagan. Yeah, from Wolverine Origins.
Yeah,
Origins,
which is drawn really badly.
You pick that up, right?
Yeah, I pick it up on a regular basis.
What's the deal with him? He is Wolverine's son, and so he has a mohawk and how many claws?
He has two that comes out of here, and then one that secretly comes out of his wrist. So when he grabs people, the secret one can do damage.
As opposed to the not-so-secret one, Wolverine, which is like a lip.
Yeah. It's weird. Well, X-23.
What do you think? What do you think about Dakin?
It's kind of a weird thing just to throw in there. Hey, you have a son, you know. So it's. I feel like it would have been one thing if they kind of established it a little bit of like, hey, Wolverine, you have a son, and then kind of let that sink in a little bit instead of like, surprise, there's a son, and he's fucked up, and he's coming after you. Better look out. I don't know. Plus the art. Below, so it kind of pulls me out of the story a little bit. But it's kind of weak. It's a weak character.
I feel like they just did X-23.
Exactly.
Let her be cool.
X-23 is the female clone of Wolverine, who only has two claws.
But she's one that comes out of her foot.
But she does?
Yeah. How did you miss that?
Little spoiler, there's a new character who has two claws that come out of his eyes. The one that comes out of his asshole. And that's what he watches. He's like a fairy accent.
He has blonde curls and he's constantly like a lollipop.
He has wings.
Never suspect his asshole spike.
Yeah. I never suspect that.
In fact, his character name is Asshole Spike.
Which you would think you would suspect it from a name like that.
But what he does is he's like, you're like, what's your name? And he's like, I'll tell you later. I'll sit on your lap.
Getting back to the question a little bit, I feel like, this son's supposed to be...
The character I just made up is just as good as the one that you're talking about.
For now, I'm going to call Dakin Asshole Spike. Cool.
So asshole Spike is supposed to be really badass. So just Wolverine took him out like that. So it's kind of like, oh wow.
Really? Yeah, it's just unnecessary. It's a way of creating drama without actually having to do any work.
Well, when that series came out, it was like, finally, all the secrets of Wolverine revealed, and it's all this bullshit stuff that you don't even care.
I mean, they did a good versus with Wolverine versus Deadpool, and that was a lot of fun. But then his son fucking ruined the whole thing, so it was just like, oh.
Don't have kids.
Don't have kids.
Yes.
The last Wolverine comic I read was Wolverine the End, and he climbed up a mountain for 2 issues, and then he like passed out, and his brother was like, I'm your brother!
And there was like,
this stuff happened? Or is it just more like, assholes?
Well, that was the end.
Yeah. Is Sabretooth his dad yet? Or like...
No, Sabretooth, that is...
Where's Maverick? How does Maverick fit in?
Nobody remembers
anything. They have a timeline, I bet, at the Marvel Comics office of Wolverine, of what happened with him, and it looks like this.
How long before Kitty Pryde comes back?
Oh, Alex, you should feel this one. Yeah. You should dream of it every night.
probably not for a while.
Okay. When would you be all right with her coming back?
Oh, that's
just if you don't
she
know,
died, right?
No.
She's riding a bullet through the sky. That's not.
That's his dream. Yeah. She's trapped inside a really big metal bullet that's flying in the out away from her.
And we're like, we can't go after her because she thinks she's the bullet right now.
This is why when I say to people I read comics, they look at me like you're an
asshole.
Is she
in space?
Shooting through space.
Oh.
Still.
Yep. So it's like they're picked up by like the shower.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe.
Don't answer now. Think about it and talk to us after the show.
And we'll see what we can do.
I think it's going to be a while. It's going to be probably a few
I just
years.
Hope when it is,
it's a good story.
Because it's always...
What?
Sorry.
What?
Is Pete making faces at you?
No, he just...
No, I was.
I think they would be capable.
Stop.
What is going on?
I don't know. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, Pete, that was going on.
It's going to be a while. Next question.
Okay. If you could put together.
We talked for like 3 minutes and it was the same thing. That I said.
What?
What?
If you could put together a comic book.
We all hate each other.
Spoiler.
All right, if you could put together. I'm asking you. If you could put together a comic book writer/artist dream team of anyone, living or dead, who would it be and on what book?
Oh,
wow. That's a big question.
Yeah.
Currently running book? Pete, who do you want to write and draw the Punisher?
Jeez, I mean, I'd say, like, Ed Morrison and A.G. Jones, but that happens.
It's bad. It's a nightmare team.
Yeah.
Who would be your nightmare team?
Me and Pete.
Who's
driving? Me.
That implies so much.
Yeah. I'm honest.
I would love to see Oscar Wilde writing a comic book.
Oh, here we go.
Whoever, I'm completely blanking his name, but the guy who's doing the art for Patsy Walker Hellcat right now, that would be a fun, jolly good time.
Oscar Wilde, yeah.
What book?
What book? Superman.
Oscar Wilde, on his deathbed today, one great Superman story.
Cool, and that's it for your audience questions. Everybody. All right, let's move on to the next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Hey guys, guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to be talking about a little film that comes out on Friday called Mamma Mia. I can't wait. I'm seeing it in IMAX.
3 days. That sounds really pop. So we saw Dark Knight.
Just to explain why we were so late, actually.
Yeah.
because we were going to be on time, the screening was on time, no problem. Because they were so worried about security, they took, as you were going in, they're like, excuse me, do you have a cell phone? Which is the stupidest question you could ask somebody. Do any of you not have cell phones, just out of curiosity?
Careful how you answer.
Okay. I mean, it's totally fair if you don't, but when you're dealing with an audience of like 300 or 400 people, you have to expect there are going to be at least 300 or 400 cell phones.
I had to get my cell phone, my sat phone, my beeper, my pager.
Wait, what's the difference between a beeper and a pager?
Then on the way out, three guys with all of the cell phones walking as slowly as they possibly could, being like, here, I need to take your ticket. Well, I don't know what your phone looks like. also, we didn't put these tickets or bags in any sort of order.
There was going to be a mob scene of reviewers like,
and that's our review of Dark Knight.
Anyway, that's why we're late. What did you guys think about the movie? Without any spoilers.
Yeah, we won't ruin it. The movie lives up to all the hype, though. It is... Yeah. My prediction is it's going to be Spider-Man. It's going to be the biggest movie opening weekend, and it's going to be the biggest movie ever.
I've heard it cures dead babies.
Yeah.
We're finally done with dead babies forever.
Oh, that's...
thank God. Those dudes
this is
are
that baby joke in every issue with us.
I was really nervous.
To be fair, there was a dead baby in front of us. It was not accurate.
Oh.
I'm glad you did that. I was really nervous about the Joker and Heath Ledger just because I thought I'm going to be totally distracted by his death.
It was really good.
I would say more than anything else about the movie, because I actually, it's not the perfect movie.
Hey.
Hold on. No. It's not. So just prepare yourself for that, and hopefully I'll lower your expectations a little bit, so you go and you're like, fuck you! But, something like that. Heath Ledger is incredible in the movie. He is the best part of the movie. They give... the tone of the music under him, there's points when it almost makes you want to throw up in a way. He's so scary. It's just like, it's so upsetting and disturbing the way the character is done. It's absolutely stunningly
better than Jack Nicholson.
It
was like every time he wasn't on screen, I was just like, everything he was doing, I wanted to see. Yeah. He was just knocking it was so great.
Yeah,
every little thing
was that was incredibly great is if you have a chance, see it in IMAX, because there's about, I don't know, what would you say, 20 to 30 minutes, something like that, is an IMAX. They do switch between that and the widescreen. Obviously, the widescreen projected on the IMAX is still pretty huge, but when it's an IMAX, when it's filling that entire gigantic screen, it's stunning.
It's what it opens on a big over the city scene, and you're like, really? I was like, whoa, I'm not ready for this!
It's absolutely, absolutely incredible, and if you are going to see the movie, see it that way.
Story's great. Did you think it was better than Iron Man?
Yes.
I would say the highs of the movie are better than the highs of Iron Man.
You were wasted. You were
high.
I think it was better than Iron Man. By a pretty good mark.
I would say that they are very different movies.
True, but it's...
How about...
I have favorite children. Why do you make them judge?
Yeah.
I love all movies equally.
Really? That's a big statement.
Step up to the shit.
Step up to
stick it.
The fact that you know that those are different movies.
I would say that The Dark Knight is not as good as Stick It. But better than Step Up to the Street.
Better dance moves than Step Up to the Street.
Yeah, it was spoiler, the dance battle in the middle, spectacular.
Yeah.
Mr. Gordon can break dance. Oh, man.
Please.
Yeah, the Gordon dance is pretty awesome. Yeah. That's
we'll all be doing it next
Stay
week.
For the end credits because you'll hear the Gordon dance.
We couldn't stay for the credits. That's what sucked. We were running out.
Yeah, we had to be late for the show.
We had to go wait for something.
Yeah, so I feel like we're dancing around it a lot, but what would you say about this movie? Give it a letter grade.
A triple plus.
what college did you go to?
What do you mean college?
Exactly. It's an A. It's a great movie. It's going to be the biggest movie in there.
I mean, there were some parts with dialogue where I was like, meh, meh, but it was just like,
I was just so blown away by other stuff that I wasn't even going to pay attention to that.
Cool. Obviously, we'll talk a little more about it next week after everybody has actually seen it.
Yeah.
But movie is great. Definitely go see it. Something to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah. It's definitely an IMAX movie.
Finally,
things to look forward
finally
to
something
weather.
To look forward to this weekend. Because otherwise, it's a pitiful wasteland. Right, guys?
That's
it for the week in D. Kick it to our next section, which is trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Yay! Yay! Do you have time to do trivia?
Well, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience, but since it's somebody's birthday,
uh-oh,
we're going to give back to someone who comes to a lot of our shows. So James, come on up here! Birthday, sir.
Happy birthday.
And so you just have to answer a few questions and this could be yours.
Woo!
Gift card to Midtown Comics. All right. So how this will work is I'll read you a question and then you'll have three multiple choice. All right, now here we go. Question number one. Which comic book club show was your favorite that you have seen?
Wow.
That's are there no choices?
Yeah.
No. We ran here. So, this is why the last man stuff. I'm just pretending.
This show.
Yeah! He's gone for one! Okay. Question number two.
The illusion.
Oh, man. When is your birthday? Is it actually today or not? It's today.
It's triple two!
All right. I'm really nervous. Here we go, the last and final question. If you could be one comic book club member for a day, including Boothman.
Easy answer, Boothman.
Who would it be? And what would you do? That's on here. It's on here.
Oh, wow. Who would you eat some? We can leave. We should leave.
Also, this music sounds like we're about to stand
here. Answer the question, James.
Answer, James.
Answer the question, James.
Wait a minute, answer the question.
Sponsor the show. Do you guys have any idea what's going on tomorrow that you're looking forward to?
Punisher Max is going out tomorrow. I know that much.
Thanks. That's like the one book I read.
What do you like about Punisher Max?
It's just ridiculously, relentlessly hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just every time you think, oh, well, he's already, you know, eviscerated a man and left him to die over several hours and get, you know, pump him for information as he dies, he comes up with something even more ghastly. And, but not like shocked by it. I mean, it's just an exercise in how hard can you make this character and still have it be believable.
Yeah.
That's great.
Kudos to you.
Does Superman, James Jones Superman, come out tomorrow?
I don't know.
Does Superman rain?
We don't know. Anyway, we'll have some comics tomorrow. That's cool. What do you have coming out?
Coming out? Gosh, whiz. Dose number two.
Should I pick up a copy of Dose Two?
Yes, because if you ask for it with sign language,
oh no, where can they?
Where? Oh, geez.
Newark?
Well, that's a question.
This is
what I'm doing this week, is I'm contacting you. So retailers, if you would like a copy of those two, you may contact me via indeliblecomics.com. And I will have
Jim Henley's does a good job of like picking up indie
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you can probably find stacks of Dose Number One still at Jim Henley's and other New York comic shops.
Well, cool. So go to indeliblecomics.com.
If you, the listener, would like to order it directly, you can go to indeliblecomics.com.
Cool.
Nice.
And it will hopefully be across the nation.
And what else do we have to look forward to? I know you can't talk about it, but when is Animal Stage 2 hitting? Do you have the idea?
That's up to them. I get my final color pages this week, and then I ship it off to them, and they put it up when they want to. But it's not exclusive, so I can put it up when I want to. So again,
the future then.
Yes. No. Again, indeliblecomics.com.
Ah, nice.
You it is your one-stop shop.
Yes. And I will refer you to the better link if you so. Once it becomes available.
Cool. Okay, a couple of little items before we go. Next week we're going to have Alex Robinson on the show. He's going to be talking about his book, Too Cool to Be Forgotten,
awesome.
Which is fantastic.
Very
and
good.
I think his
best work yet, I would say.
Wait, what's tomorrow?
Wednesday.
It either comes out tomorrow. 16. It either comes out tomorrow or next week. I don't remember which.
I didn't know the date or the day. You're welcome.
I'll check with Pete now about calendar issues. Speaking of calendar issues, we are also going to be in San Diego next week. Brand, definitely tell them they're going to be there. We're going to be doing a comic book club panel on Saturday night. You don't necessarily need all the info, but we are going to have Adam Rifkin there, who is National Lampoon's Homo Erectus. He directed, it's actually much better than that title would imply. Also, Scott Adsit from 30 Rock is going to be on the show. And we're going to have Gabriel Rodriguez, who's the artist on Lock and Key. And Eric Powell, who is the creator of The Goon, which was just picked up as an animated movie by David Fincher, who did Seven. So,
she was way better than this one.
Eric
Powell's got it.
Yeah, he's going to show us the goon dance. That doesn't exist.
Yet.
So tell your friends in San Diego. Also, you can check us out three times a week at pulpsecret.com, PULPsecret.com. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Brendan for me. Yeah! Yeah! Good job. Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends.
Or 8:15.
Or 8:30, or whatever we want to get here. Good night!
Thank you!